Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
The Commanders built a nice foundation for success on and off the field this season. It's time for you to start thinking about yours as well. The exclusive sponsor of our show is the law firm Condori and Murad. They'll help you update your last will and testament. They'll set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a consultation for free with their estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you. You'll get a discount on the work they do for you. That's kmlawyers.com. Great friends of ours, end of the show. Went on a couple road trips with them this year to Cincy. Saw Jaden Daniels ball out to Philadelphia as well. We did not consider that loss a road trip loss.
That was a business trip loss. A business trip.
We're going to do different bookkeeping for that one. So yeah. We were 1-0 on our road trips with Condori and
Murad. That's right. That is correct, yes.
Capitals fans, let's get you some tickets. Caller number 10 right now at 800-636-1067. Congrats, you're winning a pair of tickets to see the good guys take on the bad guys. That's the Penguins. Caps Pens, January 18th for the complete cap schedule. Or to purchase tickets, go to thefandc.com. It is time for your Beltway Blitz. We'll be covering the Caps, the Commanders. Let's start you off right now on the hardwood.
The Washington Wizards.
And on a football Friday ahead of playoff football, we're going to pay attention to the Wizards for a few minutes because our guy Chase Hughes is all over it, and he'll give us the insight, and then we'll get back to the gridiron. But they're 6-29, and they understand the assignment.
They understand the assignment.
Capture the flag, baby. Chase, update us on the Wiz who are at the Bulls tonight, 8 o'clock tip.
Yeah, so they're playing on the road in Chicago against a team that they actually picked up a win against not that long ago, about a week ago at home. So that's got to be kept in mind. I'm sure Chicago is going to be trying to get some payback against the Wizards. But, you know, the Wizards did a great job of taking away Chicago's biggest strength. You know, the Bulls this year have tried to play a little bit differently. They're trying to play a lot faster. They're taking a ton of threes, and they're actually making quite a few. It's kind of like what the Boston Celtics are doing in terms of play style. Obviously, Boston's a lot better at it than the Bulls are. But it comes down to the three-point line when you're playing the Chicago Bulls nowadays. And the Wizards kept them to just under 30% in that win, and they also forced 20 turnovers. So the Wizards are going to be banged up. You know, in that game, a big help in the victory was 30 points from Jordan Poole. He continues to be dealing with an injury. Malcolm Brogdon's out. They've got a long injury list, but they are playing a team that they beat recently, so we'll see if they can make it 2 in a row.
Chase, to me, this season is about finding young pieces, the guys that are already here, getting some improvement from those guys, and so far I've been very pleased with that. A couple sort of recent finds, two-way deal here for Jared Butler, and I've liked what I've seen from Champagne, even if he's just kind of a bench player, energy forward, kind of a, you know, that Anthony Gill role, maybe with a bit more skill. I like both of those guys maybe as potential bench pieces.
Yeah, I'll start with Champagne. He is one of my favorite basketball archetypes, which is the short guy who can rebound. And when I say short, he's like 6'6", but he's undersized for a rebounder. But this guy in college averaged 11 rebounds a game at Pittsburgh, which I'm amazed by. And it continues to, you know, translate to the pros. If you look at his career numbers, you know, rebounds per 36 minutes, there's only one player in the league who rebounds better at 6'6" or shorter, and that's Luka Doncic. So, you know, he's done a tremendous job rebounding the ball. He plays really hard, and I think he's showing lately that he's got a lot more to offer offensively than a lot of people thought. Jared Butler was a terrific college player who won a title at Baylor as one of the best shooters in the nation as a sort of off-ball guard. And in the NBA, he's sort of slowly gotten better every year because he's had to play point guard. He's only about 6'3". He's not really tall enough to play the role that he had in college. But he's getting really, really good. I mean, going back to per 36 numbers, he's, you know, been one of the more efficient point guards in the league, averaging about 20 points and 8.5 assists per 36 minutes. And whenever the Wizards put him out there, he puts up crazy numbers. The other day, he played 20 minutes, had 26 points, 7 assists, and 4 rebounds. Like, you just don't see that very often. And what fascinates me about him, going back to his shooting, is he was absolutely elite shooting from three in college. It hasn't translated to the NBA yet, but once it does, once that catches.
Chase Hughes with us from Monumental Sports on the Beltway Blitz. Chase, I know you're a Commanders fan. You tell me, how do you feel about the matchup with Tampa Bay this Sunday?
I feel pretty good. You know, I was hearing you guys talk recently about, like, who would you rather play, L.A. or Tampa? And, you know, you were going through all the pass catchers on L.A., and Danny was like, well, what about Mike Evans? And that's what I was thinking as you were going through it. Mike Evans is, like, completely unstoppable at his size, a Hall of Fame wide receiver. But Marshawn Lattimore is going to play. We know he's had some success against him in the past, so I feel a little bit better knowing that. Obviously, Tampa's been rolling offensively, but, you know, Washington, they've been playing some close games and obviously making it a little too close for comfort, but they've also been beating some fairly good teams, I think, along the way. So I feel good about them right now. I think I probably feel the most confident I've felt in a really long time about them going into a playoff matchup because of Jaden Daniels and because of what they've shown me this season.
The mayor emeritus of the Palisades in D.C. Chase, thank you, buddy.
Thank you, guys. Have a good weekend.
See you, my friend. You too. Hit that puck sounder, Darius.
The Washington Capitals.
Our pal Sammy Silber, the Hockey News, covering the Washington Capitals. Sammy, I looked at some analytics the other day, and I had an adult translate them for me, but it basically looked like the Capitals' rip-roaring start is kind of hiding maybe some wrinkles, and they might be due for a bit of a regression here in the second half. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, I think in any season where you play 82 games, you're going to have ebbs and flows, and this is the halfway mark, and you know, at some point you're gonna see a drop in production. It's just natural. I mean, it would be great if you could sustain that all year long, but you know, in the realistic sense of hockey, and you know, as more teams get used to the Capitals game this year, and you know, as you get down the stretch, and you know, things are on the line for different teams, you kind of see a step back in that 5-on-5 play, especially on offense. Games get tighter. You know, Ovi's still adjusting, making his way back in the lineup, and the lines are still undergoing a little bit of a makeover from time to time. So I think you're seeing a natural regression, but it's one that they certainly want to stop before it snowballs into something that kind of makes you question that start of the season.
Sammy, I'm excited for the debut of Ethan Frank this season and his NHL debut. He's been called up. He's the fastest player on the team. First time I can remember the Capitals maybe having the fastest player in the NHL in a long, long time. Tell people about the newest young Capital that got called up.
Yeah, really, really great moment for him. I mean, he's a guy who he's put in the work. He's paid his dues. He worked his way up to, you know, earn a deal with Hershey, and then out of there earned a deal with the Caps. So coming up for the first time, this is his first call-up. It'll be his debut against Montreal. Like you said, he's very fast, holds the fastest skater record down the AHL. I think it was like a 12-second lap, which is crazy. But, you know, beyond that, you know, is the goal-scoring prowess. You know, he just, his shot and his vision and the way he moves and the way he can shoot the puck, it's really something special. And I think that you're going to see that up at the NHL. You know, and I think that the Caps need down their third line right now is, you know, a shooter and a guy who can kind of bring a new look there.
Sammy, preview this evening for us.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough matchup. I think you have the Caps, you know, coming off a win, a really tight, gritty win, but, you know, obviously looking to turn around recent regression, and then you're taking on a surging team in Montreal, you know, who, you know, might not be the greatest in the standings, but they're definitely on the rise, and, you know, with Cole Caulfield and Nick Suzuki, and they have so many different weapons. I mean, you just always got to look out for a team like that, and you know, their goaltending's really good right now, too. So I think you're going to have a really tight matchup, and it's going to be a good game for both sides. And hopefully for Washington, it's one where they see their 5-on-5 scoring kind of find its spark.
Sammy, thank you. We appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks, guys. You too.
See ya.
All right, let's localize the football combo.
The Washington Commanders.
Steve Wino of the Associated Press will join us in a moment to talk about the Commanders. But in the meantime, we could do just that. Danny, we're 2 days away. It's a long time in the making. I was talking to a listener earlier today who said in 2020, when they made the playoffs, he didn't really count it a real playoff year. There were sub 500. Fans weren't in the stands. Go back 9 years to the last time an over 500 Washington team played a playoff game with fans watching in the stadium.
Yeah, and you can, you know, do the lily pads between those times and the very rare moments in Washington recent history over the last 33 years where they've done that. It's taken miraculous runs. It's taken four-game, five-game, seven-game winning streaks just to crack the big dance to lose on the opening weekend. This is different. This is the start of something. This is the beginning of the journey where they're probably punching above their weight class, but who cares, right? I mean, this is not one of those, all right, if we don't do it now, we're never doing it simply because of the way these rosters were constructed in the past and how fleeting their success was. It never carried over. This really does feel like something that will start to carry over.
The run game has been a problem.
Treacherous.
Brian Robinson's averaging about 2.78 per carry over the last month. Washington's averaging 3.1 on the ground from running backs. Now, it hasn't really been covered nationally or talked about this week because if you just look at the box scores, you don't see it. Jaden Daniels has run wild. He's been very active. When he didn't play in the second half against Dallas, Marcus Mariota had a 30-yard carry and led them in rushing. Last week, their top two ball carriers were quarterbacks. It's going to be hard to get it going against Vita Vea and Kalijah Kancey, but they've got to run it better than they have this week.
There's no question. I hope they found something. I hope the return of Tyler Biotis changes it. I hope a little bit more health on that offensive line is the sort of magic cure. I hope maybe it's Chris Rodriguez. Maybe it's Austin Eckler. I don't know where the running game is going to come from. It has not come from their running backs here, to your point, over the last month and change. It has been a struggle. You need something to kind of take this pressure off. They want to play a little ball control in this game, I get the sense, for Washington. So I'm hopeful that they'll be able to do that. You don't have to be as good as you were against Tennessee, although that'd be awesome. But just something more than you've shown here over recent weeks.
Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll talk to Trey Wingo about the Commanders and the Bucks. And a little later in the hour, Darius will give us the FanDuel props for individual player lines. We'll go over and under some of the statistics for the game. But let's keep the football convo going on the Blitz. And to discuss tomorrow night's AFC tilt, the Ravens hosting the Steelers. We've got show Ravens insider Matt Valdez.
What's up, guys?
On site, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, on site. Thank you to Hyde Social. Thank you to you guys for coming out.
It's because the audience loves it.
I know. Look at that. Big, huge pop for me.
Hyde Social, by the way. You've been here. Uh-huh. I mean, this food is delicious.
I know.
Chuck told me when we were coming out, he was like, you guys better bring your appetites. We've eaten so much, and he's like, so what's next? You guys want? And I'm like, you're going to roll me out of here, dude.
I know. They have dessert coming for you, too.
So silly.
Danny, I get to a point where I call off the dogs. Danny does not have that gear.
If it's in front of me, I'm like a sheep.
Especially if it's free.
I'm amazing at that.
Free 99 is silly. All right, for Steelers Ravens, I asked you this when you got here. Are you nervous? I'm just going to tell you, if I was you, everyone thinks you're going to win.
I know.
Big betting line. At home.
It's the worst possible scenario for a Ravens fan.
It's not even fun, kind of.
I know. It's almost a lose-lose.
Yeah,
especially,
you win, you're supposed
especially
to.
Especially if you win by one.
Yes.
You didn't win by enough.
No, if they win by one or two, that's a disappointing game.
Exactly.
So are you nervous or do you think they roll?
Personally, I feel like they roll. The only problem I have, it's not the Steelers I worry about. The team I fear most in the playoffs are the Ravens. Themselves. They shoot themselves in the foot so much. I think they're first or second in the NFL in penalties. If it gets into a penalty fest, and all of a sudden it's a close game going into the fourth quarter and the Steelers have the ball and all they need is a field goal to win the game, I mean, I'm glued to my seat. It's a toss-up at that point.
Wouldn't you rather, in a game like this, if you're playing like a team that's struggling on offense, quarterback scuffling, big line, 10-point favorites, whatever it was. You'd rather not be playing a division rival, in my opinion. Like, these teams know each other so well. I know they blew Pittsburgh out a few weeks ago, but mostly the games are close. Like, that just makes it more ominous.
They did blow him out, but traditionally this game is a very, very close game. I expect Tomlin and I expect Danny Smith to have a little something up their sleeve in the special teams. I actually expect Justin Fields to come out in a lot of packages in this game. That's kind of going to be their ace up their sleeve since Russ has been struggling so much.
I could
see Justin Fields really not starting the game, but all of a sudden the second, third drive coming out and they're doing a lot of RPO, a lot of read option, a lot of quarterback counters, quarterback up the middles. I could see that in the game plan.
Because
think about it, in the playoffs, it's one game.
Right.
All you gotta do is game plan for one game and get to the next game, then game plan for that.
Yeah.
So if you can all of a sudden trick them in whatever way possible in advance, then all it's golden.
So I keep bringing this up, and I feel like nobody cares about it. And I don't get that. I want you to tell me if I'm right or if I'm missing something.
Okay.
Here. I think not having Zay Flowers is a massive deal, not only for this game, but then potentially going forward. Like, let's say he's able to play next week if you win, God willing, from your perspective. Is he just going to be 100%? Like, not having that weapon.
Well, who's pushing back? I mean, he's a Pro Bowler.
I just feel like nobody's bringing it up. It's like, the spread hasn't changed. It's the Ravens.
He's a Pro Bowl wide receiver, especially he's amazing against man coverage, and that's what the Steelers do. And to be honest with you, losing Diontae Johnson as that backup for Zay Flowers really hurts here. He was our insurance policy in case any wide receivers got hurt. The problem is no one got hurt, never saw the field, so he wanted out. Diontae Johnson is amazing against man, and he would have thrived against the Steelers in this type of game. But having Zay out, especially when they love man coverage, you're going to have to target Bateman a lot more. I expect more Isaiah Likely to be involved in this game because I expect them to load the box and look for Mark Andrews over the middle. So I expect a huge Isaiah Likely type game.
So assuming the Ravens beat the Steelers, it all depends on who else wins. But theoretically, they would then play Buffalo?
Buffalo or...
Like, they wouldn't get Kansas City almost certainly.
No, they wouldn't get Kansas City until the AFC Championship.
So it'd be Buffalo most likely.
Buffalo most likely,
okay.
Yes.
I guess we shouldn't look ahead, but like to me, that's where it gets fun if I'm a Ravens fan.
Yeah.
I said this earlier. Curious to get your thoughts. No matter what happens, this is going to be used as a referendum against Lamar.
Of course.
Do you, having watched all those games, acknowledge or agree that he has struggled at times in the playoffs? He said something I found fascinating this week. He said he's been too antsy and essentially like, I forget what word he used, but that he has been too amped up for these playoffs.
Yeah, he tries too hard,
right?
In lack of a better
to hear
terms.
Someone say that as a veteran, it's like super honest. I was surprised by that.
I know, and he was very honest about it, and everyone appreciates him being honest. But of course, the media just runs with it.
Right.
And I'll take it a step further. If the Ravens win the Super Bowl, it'll be a referendum that he had Derrick Henry. He needed Derrick Henry to win the Super Bowl.
True.
You don't understand. As a Lamar aficionado, the goalposts keep getting moved more and more and more.
Right.
So even if they win the Super Bowl, it will be, well, he needed Derrick Henry to win the Super Bowl. And one more quick thing before you go to break. This stat, I love this stat. The Ravens, amongst all of the playoffs teams that are in there, have a point differential of plus 114. Against playoff teams this year.
It's crazy.
Next, second is Detroit. High-powered offense. You would think that they're close second. They're plus 60-something. It's a massive, massive, massive point
differential. Here it is. It's not even – here it is. I got it right here.
It was 36, I think.
Oh, it was 36?
Yeah, you said this,
Ravens
yeah.
Plus 112. Lions plus 36. Nobody else is over plus 30. And by the way, Buffalo's minus 15. The Commanders minus 30. The Texans minus 66.
You know, it also helps when you beat the Bills 35-10.
Yeah, that does the trick. He's ready for the Buffalo matchup.
He's ready for it.
You got some things to worry about tomorrow in the division.
Get a table ready just in case you can go through it.
Matty Valdez.
Big Matt Valdez.
Season,
right. Matt Valdez.
Junkies,
that's Matt Valdez.
Gentlemen, joining us at Hyde Social. We are going to be joined by Trey Wingo, formerly of ESPN, longtime NFL insider. He stops by to help us preview the playoff bracket next on Grant and Danny. Hyde Social, the spot of today's Friday field trip. Out in Arlington, Grant and Danny welcoming you back live on The Fan. We're getting closer and closer to playoff football and a drought ending in the nation's capital. Might the Commanders be able to win a playoff game for the first time since January of 2006, 19 years ago, when they were in Tampa taking on the Bucs? They'll be back there, same stadium, on Sunday night. Let's welcome onto the show our buddy Trey Wingo, presented by the DraftKings Network. Trey, it's Grant and Danny in D.C. What do you think about the matchup Washington drew here at Tampa Bay Sunday night?
Well, first of all, great to be back with you guys. And is that Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi as the in-bump music?
That is correct.
Is that what that was? All right, nicely done.
That is correct.
Oh, yes. I love that. It's going to be a fun one. We're looking at two historical seasons from rookie quarterbacks, not only obviously Jaden Daniels, but also Bo Nix. They're the first two rookie quarterbacks ever to lead their teams to 10 wins and have 4,000 total yards and over 30 total touchdowns each. So this is a really special group. that we have playing in the postseason. But, you know, they got to win playoff games on the road, and that has been historically difficult for rookie quarterbacks. I think Joe Flacco won a couple his rookie year in 2008, Mark Sanchez, Russell Wilson in 2012, and I think that's about it. So, you know, it's going to be a tough test.
Trey, if you could tell 2021 me, I don't know why I picked that year, but I was thinking like a few years ago. Tell 2021 me, hey, man, two unbelievable quarterback seasons by Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield for playoff teams, I would have been like, I'm sure. I got some real estate in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean to sell you to, jackass. Like, there's no way. Yet here we are. Mayfield has been unbelievable, capitalizing or you know, sort of leapfrogging off of last year, which kind of his own renaissance year. He's exceeded that this year. How and what have you seen?
Yeah, well, first of all, if I was talking to 2021 you, I would say buy Bitcoin. And,
yes.
and start dancing on TikTok. And then you might Indeed. Have done very well by now.
That's right.
The Baker thing is fascinating to me. You know, it wasn't that long ago he was so far down the bench. He and Darnold were on the same team in Carolina, and he was taking scout team reps at defensive end. And here we are now over the last two seasons, no quarterback has thrown more touchdowns than Baker Mayfield. And listen, I love this story, and I love it for Sam too. We're talking about the first and third overall pick in 2018, both on their fourth teams now and both really thriving. It's just – it's so great. And to see what the Bucs have done, you know, there's only three teams, guys, that have made the playoffs each of the last five seasons. The Chiefs, the Bills, and the frickin' Bucs. And it's a really a testament to what they've been able to do. You know, they were 4-6, and they lost both of their top two wide receivers, Chris Godwin for the season, and Mike Evans missed 3.5 games with that hamstring. Yet here they are. They're the first team in NFL history to start 4-6 and make the playoffs, or win the division, rather, 2 years in a row. So it's a remarkable thing that they've done, and Baker has just – he's found a home, and he's just cutting it loose, man. It's really impressive.
I want to get to a couple of other matchups we haven't paid as much attention to today. Why does it seem like very few people are giving the Packers a chance? Like 3 weeks ago, they were going to Minnesota with a chance to still climb to the top of the North. I know they've lost a couple of games since, but Philly hadn't had much practice time with Hurts. They're 12-1 in their last 13. But it's like the Packers are viewed as this 7 seed that has no chance.
Well, a couple of things. Jordan Love's elbow is a little banged up. They lose Christian Watson. And, you know, if Jalen Hurts is right, and, you know, if he's playing, have we gotten official word yet, by the way?
They did say, out of the protocol and will play.
Okay, so if he's right, they're going to be very difficult to beat. Okay, their offensive line is ridiculous. You could make the case that all five of their starters could be Pro Bowl players. You have Saquon Barkley, who's having, again, by the way, Saquon the third pick in the 2018 draft. So revisited, those top three picks of the 28 draft look really, really good just on different teams. There's a lot of factors going into this that count for me against Green Bay. Jordan Love's elbow, where's he hurt? Christian Watson isn't there. Can they stop the run effectively on a team that wants to bully you? I mean, like, for the majority of this season, as good as Saquon has been, I think the Eagles' passing game was at 1.31st, and I'm not sure it got much better than that towards the end stretch of the season. You know, they want to play bully ball. They want to run it down your throats and then make you play from behind, and they have the capability to do that. So I guess that's why. Nothing surprises me in the playoffs anymore. Like, I never thought that the Giants, either of the years they won the Super Bowl against the Patriots, are the best team going into the postseason. So anything can happen. But as long as Philadelphia doesn't get in their own way, this is going to be a tough one for Green Bay.
Let's start with the first game of the weekend, chronologically speaking here, Trey.
Yeah.
Relatively disappointing Texans team. I mean, it's hard for a team that just a couple of years ago was a league-wide joke that's now won 10 games to be viewed as a disappointment, but that's how great last year was against this, you know, Harbaugh just harballing up to 11 Chargers team here. I'm fascinated by this matchup. I seem to be the only one, though. It's like ones of us that are invested.
By the way, I appreciate the Spinal Tap reference. These knobs go to 11. Well done on your part.
These go to 11.
With Harbaugh, but... yeah, look, the Houston Texans, I think this is their eighth straight playoff game where they start at 3:30 in the afternoon. So that's kind of the NFL telling you what they think about the draw of the Houston Texans. The problems for the Texans have been, you know, CJ's obviously regressed, but that really goes back to the offensive line. And unfortunately for them, you know, when you lose Stephon Diggs and you lose Tank Dell in the way they lost him in that December game against the Chiefs,
it really limits what CJ can do. And then you need a really strong running game from Joe Mixon to counter that. And as we said, the offensive line has been banged up, so that mitigates that a little bit. Look, I'm not saying the Chargers are a great team, and they for the most part this season have had a really good defense. They haven't been prolific on offense, but they get J.K. Dobbins back, which gives them a little more bump on the ground. I don't think this game's going to be pretty, but I do think the Chargers are the better team going into this. But again, the playoffs are just so strange. Like, at no point last year at 11-6 did the Chiefs look like they were the best team in football going into the postseason until they said, screw it, we're the Chiefs, and they were absolute freaking 22 Mariano Riveras out there every game in the postseason. So anything can happen, but I do not feel like the Texans have a lot of mojo going into this game at all.
Trey Wingo with us, Grant and Danny, DraftKings Network, joining us live on The Fan as we get ready for playoff football, just as we all anticipated
we knew
we'd be doing today in D.C. on the Friday before the wild card round. Hey, the Vikings and the Rams, I always have to say this caveat if someone's just tuning in for a moment, because obviously this is not as important as what's going on in L.A., but yeah. The Rams having to have this thing moved is quite an unfortunate circumstance for a team that got a home playoff game. Meanwhile, the Vikings now get a neutral site game in Phoenix. Does that shift, if at all, how you feel about a matchup that was kind of being viewed by odds makers like a toss-up game anyway?
It doesn't, for a couple of reasons. Number one, there is no home field advantage for the Rams. There's no home field advantage for the Chargers.
That's actually,
let's just be honest about
point.
It.
Yeah.
If
you
it
know,
was in,
I mean,
L.A., there's not really much of an advantage. That's a good
point.
No,
I mean, like, whenever the Rams played the 49ers, they practice on a silent count for their home games, okay? You look at every one of those Rams-Niners games, there's so much gold and red in the stand. So I don't think it changes the outcome, because there isn't really a huge home field advantage for the Rams at SoFi. Now, you can talk about the hassle of both teams traveling, and it does take away a little bit of the comforts of home, but there's not really a huge advantage for the Rams at SoFi anyway. You know, they played there earlier in the year, and that was the second of the two straight losses that the Vikings had before they ripped off nine straight wins. And the thing that I'm really curious about for this one is, which Sam Darnold are we going to see? This has been a resurgent year for Sam, and he's been great. But in that game, when they had everything on the line, and I don't think it's fair to discount everything he's done by that one game against Detroit, he didn't play well. You know, the Lions were hopped up, man. I mean, this was the home game, first time ever that they could have the number one seed since seedings began in 1975. They got Alec Anzalone back, one of the best defensive players. They've been so ravaged on defense. They played out of their minds. I don't think the Lions are going to play that well every week defensively. But, there were question marks on those two first possessions inside the red zone. There were touchdowns to be had, and Sam just missed them. So I don't think the bad game against the Lions discounts everything that he did this season, but I think people are going to be like, okay, so let's see what you are, Sam, here in the cauldron, because we've never seen this before, and I'm curious to see how it looks.
Trey, quick one here. Prediction for Washington and Tampa, and how does Jaden Daniels fare?
I think Jaden plays pretty well. I think it's, I'll say 27-20 in favor of the Bucs. I'm not trying to rain on anybody's parade. I just, Baker's got a little, he's got a little swag in him right now, and I really like the way he's playing. I really do. And Evans is a tough target to beat, and they can beat you up on the ground, too. So I'm going to go with the Bucs.
Trey, enjoy a great weekend of playoff football. We appreciate the time, as always, buddy.
You got it, man. Anytime, Grant and Danny. Always good to be on with you.
Thank you.
Trey Wingo, DraftKings Network with us here in D.C. on Grant and Danny. Always love getting him on. He does a lot of those, I'm sure, all over the country.
Yep.
And always has just great nuggets. He still must get the packet that he had when he was hosting NFL Live.
Right.
Because he's got the best little factoids and anecdotes. I love having him on the show. Next, we're going to dive into some of the individual player props on FanDuel, play a little over-under. How do we think this game plays out for Daniels, McLaurin, B-Rob, and some of the important contributors for Washington? That's next on Grant and Danny. Back live from Hyde Social in Clarendon, Grant and Danny on The Fan. This is a first for the Field Trip Friday.
Yeah.
Danny was just eating some cheesecake. I had to keep yelling. I'm like, dude, let's get a picture. Hey, there's a picture.
Like, hold on, cheesecake.
He just didn't listen. And then he's like, I have cheesecake everywhere.
I have it.
But then you could say what they asked you.
Does anyone here want a root beer float? I'm anyone, and I'm here. And I said, yes. And I just got myself a root beer float.
That looks amazing.
You know why? They're delicious.
So what they do for a root beer float, correct me if I'm wrong, they put ice cream in a glass?
Yeah.
And then do they go with root beer out of a tap right onto the ice cream?
That's pretty much it.
That sounds.
You've now just summarized the root beer float.
That's kind of impressive.
It's unbelievable.
It's a little bit amazing.
I don't know why a root beer and ice cream go together so well, like a lemon tuna fish, but it is phenomenal.
I got to shout out a couple of the fans that just said goodbye when they left. Mm-hmm. They are headed to Tampa. They're on their way. They're going to be sitting at Raymond James Stadium.
Yeah.
They're going to be on site. I got to give my guy Love, who's on his way out, who had a Mike Sellers jersey. So here's what he did. He rocked a Mike Sellers jersey from the 05 Pro Bowl, and his girl wore a Sean Taylor jersey. And I'm like, this is awesome.
That ain't bad.
But, you know, it's strategic. He's like, both of these guys played in the 05 playoff game in January 06 when the Commanders last beat the Bucs. If the guy had a Marcus Washington jersey, he could have worn that one, too.
I smell what the Rock is cooking right there.
But he
likes it.
Sellers Pro Bowl jersey.
Yep.
Sean Taylor. And they're trying to bring back 19 years ago to the day. The I almost said the Commanders. It was not the Commanders.
It was not that, no. That wasn't a gleam in anybody's, you know, any consultant's eye.
There was a Redskins fan somewhere that day that was going, if only we could have a name like Commanders. You know?
I want something generic for if my Madden franchise moves cities.
But it's been fun. Happens. And if you are in the area, come on by. We're in Clarendon. We're in Arlington. We're going to be here till 6:30, hanging out, getting ready for football. If you are looking for a place to watch games this weekend, Hyatt Social is awesome.
You can't not see multiple TVs.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense? Like, no matter where you are, there are so many TVs that you can watch.
Eyesight right now, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 and a half TV.
Without
9 and a half.
If I stare straight ahead, I think I can see 11 TVs. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't watch the one that's 90 degrees to my left, but I know it's there.
It's there.
It's letting me know. This place rules,
just
man.
In case
so
you ever want to have your peripheral vision watching a game.
I met a guy like that who's like every square foot that you could possibly fit a television, he did. He's like, I never want to not be able to see something. Like, if I'm in the restroom for an extended period of time, like, don't tell him anymore. But, like, he has TVs everywhere. And I'm like, that's this guy influenced our guy, Chuck, who built this place.
I want to know what your plans are for the game. Mr. Huhe, we can go around the room here, actually. We could do this. I am going to be going to the game. So I'm flying out Sunday morning to Tampa. I'm going to land late morning. I'm probably going to go straight to the stadium, honestly.
Oh, wow.
I don't think I'm going to putz around Tampa. I think I'm going to go right over to the stadium and just start making the rounds.
Just see the sights, yeah.
And see what's what. So probably be there around noon and just get there early and post up. Put out some content and do some stuff. So
yeah, some of the.
I'm just going
to
say I'll be on site watching the game in the press box. It's press box Paulson.
Press box Paulson time, and rightfully so. There's been some banter, there's been some talk. Some of the guys my age group, right, who we all have kids, we all have carrying on living on lives. Pretty much that whole group was out, not paying attention, not really watching, not really caring what was happening.
But then the name Commanders was so good, it brought you back.
That's not it. It's more Jaden Daniels and the ownership group and the relevance, and there's a point to all of it. There's some pulse. There's a... still alive. There's a thought. Maybe the fellas gather together in the same place like it was 2002 to watch the old football contest. If that doesn't materialize, I'll be watching at the Homestead, hopefully with the kids in another room.
Clary, what are you doing for the game on Sunday?
Believe it or not, like, we don't really have too many Commanders fans my age. There's a lot of Giants fans.
I actually can believe that.
Like, yes. It unfortunately,
are they all local?
Yeah.
Did they just bail or?
Yeah, I mean, growing up, I mean, you're either an Eagles fan or Ravens fan. And then, you know, you're a Redskins fan back in the day. I stayed loyal, though. I do have a few friends who are Commanders fans still, but this is going to be one of those things where I'm going to be nervous watching the whole time. I don't think I want to be in a room with other people.
Are you doing a Nats 2019 bit?
I think I'm going to isolate myself and make dinner on Sunday night and just kind of stay in, and that might work.
So I believe in this same theory, by the way. I don't do really important games to me.
Yes.
In public and or around people.
Yes.
But, like, I would come to this bar, probably will actually, now that I have been here and tasted things and know about it. I will be back at this bar to watch playoff football 5 times between now and the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, I can't watch Commanders games necessarily out and about. I got to lock in. I don't know if that'd be different if I didn't have the show or wasn't, like, you know, putting notes together or whatever. But it's hard for me. But I get that, like not wanting to have a bunch of people over for a watch party.
Yeah, and the thing is my friend group is that like not all of them are Commanders fans, so no one's really like all in watching it. Like a couple are Giants fans, Ravens fans, whatever it is.
Can't have that.
I can't answer where Jaden Daniels went to high school. Like,
yeah,
I'm locked in. I have to watch.
It's not social. It's not the Super Bowl where like you're hanging out in an uncomfortable chair.
It's too important.
I can't have the undermining questions from the guy that's specifically not a fan of my team.
Also the trolling, because like, what does a buddy want to do more than rib you?
Bother you.
So like at your worst moment, like a pick or a lost fumble or whatever, definitely a fumble. They throw the challenge flag.
Yeah.
Oh, that one's coming back.
Yeah.
Like, shut up.
Yeah. And
how's the game going, Ryan?
Yeah. I don't want to experience that. I've had my whole life to do that. Every big game, I've always been with friends. It sucked. 2019 Nats. I stayed home. I literally watched. I didn't even watch it with my dad. That's how serious I was.
Well, your
about
dad
it.
Was in the living room, and you were in your bedroom.
Now I was in my bedroom. I literally locked my door in darkness. It was great. We won the World Series. So I think I'm going to take that strategy to the Commanders, and
you got to go back to your childhood bedroom.
I do.
You have to go back to the scene of the World Series.
The scene of the World Series where it all happened, and who knows? Maybe go on a run.
All right, Toby, Darris, let's go to our studio at the Navy Yard. Whichever of you wants to go first, what are your plans for the game?
Yeah, I will be chilling somewhere in our building because post-game, Doc Walker and I got you till 2 a.m., so I'll be watching the game somewhere around here.
Yeah.
Late night Tobes? So the game ends. Let's figure this out. 8 o'clock-ish kick. The game's going to end at 11:30. So you guys are doing like 3, 3 and a half probably.
Absolutely. Right? We got you till 2 a.m.
You got to come back for every break with smooth jazz.
Well, I'm just telling you right now.
Just late night dulcet Tobes.
Tobes, if they win that game, you might want to let your hair down a little bit and just let that roll right into the junkies. You might want to just do the full overnight. Why do you need sleep? You're a
just
young person.
Start cutting promos.
You'll remember that in 20 years that you broadcasted all night and that the junkies walked in and you handed it off to the junkies.
I 100% would be willing to do that. Don't tell CK.
Let's
though.
Go. CK's in. You think CK cares about someone doing more radio?
No.
He's sized. And you can run your own board because you could do everything.
You could really do that.
Toby, I'm so down for
calls.
That.
All right, so Toby will be on until 6 a.m. on Sunday if the Commanders win. You heard it right here first on The Fan. I hope you get to enjoy at the studio. But there's going to be enough people around that care about the team. They'll be good vibes.
I'll probably lock myself in one of the studios because I don't. I'm kind of like Ryan. I don't want to be around anybody. I know they're not going to be trolling. I'm not. You know, we're all on the same page here. But I kind of like to be by myself for big games.
Yeah, and you'll lock yourself in because stuff doesn't work around there. So, like, one of the locks will break or someone will lock in without keys.
Dad, what are you doing?
I love you, Dad.
Are you taking care of all your kids? What are you doing for the game?
I will not be taking care of any kids, thankfully.
Okay.
I'll be going over to a friend's house. My friend is a Falcons fan, but he is hosting.
This is already terrible.
I know.
This is terrible.
I know. I'm feeling nervous about it. But he is hosting me and several other Commanders fan friends over to his house for the game and the festivities.
Because he wants to see what the playoffs are like.
He actually went to that Sunday Night Football game and witnessed that overtime loss in person. So
good. I hope he remembers it.
Yeah, hopefully we don't give him any reason to troll us this weekend.
Christian Darisaw, see the streamer guy? Is this your friend that like broke his TV? You know the guy I'm talking about?
No.
Falcons fan?
This guy's motivation, by the way? Why does a Falcons fan want to throw you guys a watch party?
So it's a deeper story, but he actually was formerly a Washington fan. But yeah, he gave up along the way with the Dan Snyder stuff and this, that, and
there's a word for that. We call it quitting.
Yeah, yeah. I would say he was a quitter. Yeah, sure. We'll agree
so
with that.
Will this quitter be rooting for the Commanders with his pals?
I think he has some rooting interest. Yes, I will say
so. Mm-hmm. I love it. Do we know what's on the menu, Dan?
I have no idea.
Okay. You're going to want to find that out at some point.
Yeah, it'll be something I'll dig into.
Is it cheap concessions?
By the way, did you pummel? Is it gone?
No, I'm still eating it.
Oh, my God. That looks – I mean, it's just
it's incredible. Is it cheap concessions like Arthur Blank? Hall of Famer, by the way.
Well, good point. He's a Falcons fan, so the food has to be super cheap, like 50 cents for your chips, $1 for your sodas.
We hopefully don't have to pay a dime. That'd be even better. But we'll find that out here soon.
There you go.
All right, good. Patrick Peterson, who – is going to be in the Hall of Fame at one point or another down the road, is going to join us to preview all these playoff games. But next, I want to go through the over-under props. We're going to give you our projected stat lines for all the top Commanders players on their offense. We'll do that next right here on The Fan.